celebrate Easter, and I thank God that we do. I'm glad we live in a country that sets apart a Sunday every year to celebrate Easter. I think they should still just pick a Sunday and go with it, but I guess it's affected by the moon and all that good stuff. But I don't, Eric, are you coming up with these things you sent, or just on your own? Eric has done something really neat this week that has been an encouragement to me. I think some of you have seen it, but he's writing things that you never really think about. And this is the one I got from last night. I wanted to read this because it goes with what I want to share in the message tonight. He says here, I'm getting ready to head to bed, and I've been thinking right now, 1,988-ish years ago, our Lord Jesus was getting ready to head to bed. He knew that he was going to be betrayed in the day that followed. He knew that he was going to have one last meal with his friends in the day that followed. He went to bed that night so many years ago, and he knew that Judas would trade him for 30 pieces of silver. He still went to bed that night. He didn't call on any angels this night. He didn't choose to not go through with any of it. He chose to go to sleep. And as you go to sleep tonight, think about what Jesus might have been pondering as he drifted off. Maybe he thought about Mary and said a prayer to the Father as she would have comfort in the days that followed. Maybe he was thinking about you. Maybe he was thinking that in less than 48 hours he was going to be nailed to a cross for you. And maybe as he thought about you, he was comforted knowing he was doing it for you. Beautiful, beautiful words that he put together there. Really spoke to my heart. And a lot of times we forget about the human side of our Savior. As he approached Calvary, he knew what was coming, you know. We as a family absolutely believe my dad knew when he was going to pass, and his doctor confirmed that with us. We think he hung on to meet his grandbaby, and he met his grandbaby, my niece, when she was born May 8th, and then he left on May 12th. And, you know, the Lord obviously knew far more than someone like my dad or anyone else would know, because he knew what he was about to endure. He knew the purpose and the mission of his life was coming to a completion. He was going to finish this race. He had his hand to the plow. He set his face toward Jerusalem, as Luke says, like a flint. Nobody was going to deter him. Nobody was going to stop him. Nobody was going to get in his way. And even when he, in the human form, said, Father, let this cup pass from me, he still says, as we preach Sunday morning, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. There's certain things about Jesus that we will never attain to, all right? We'll never be sinless like Jesus was. We are sinners. I mean, even if you grow holy, as holy as you can possibly be, we are sinners. We were conceived in sin, and we had to be saved from our sin. That's what Matthew 1 says that about Jesus. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that you get to do, or you get to copy and be like Jesus. You get to experience some of the feelings and the emotions and thoughts that Jesus had. And this passage really blesses my heart because it gives us the opportunity to walk worthy of God. Walk worthy of God. As we established last week, this is not a teaching that talks about how we are going to be all that as we walk for God or walk of God. We're walking worthy of him. In other words, we're going to walk in such a way that him look good. I want to be presentable when it comes to my God. Christianity today has become so backwards in that we are more concerned with our own reputation than we are God's reputation today. We want to look good. We want to always be right. And I just laugh. I don't waste a whole lot of time on social media. I post things to minister. I look at notifications, but I don't scroll. There's just so much ridiculousness out there, and it's amazing that Christians battle each other over silly things. And I do think it's an embarrassment to the cause of Christ that when Christians fight with other Christians about that. Our enemy is flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. It's the principalities. It's Satan. We're not supposed to be fighting each other. And I get people that try to taunt me sometimes, try to get me in these debates, and I just ignore them because I'm not going to waste God's time. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't think it's our job to run around and debate the Bible. We're just supposed to declare it. We're supposed to let Jesus speak for himself. Too many Christians are trying to represent Jesus and speak for him. That's not my job. My job is to speak about him. Jesus can speak just fine for himself. And we live in a generation now where people have miraculously become more of an authority on Jesus Christ now than they've ever been. And the spirit of humility is gone. And so when we look at this verse, walk worthy of God, it's easy to misunderstand the teaching of it because it's not talking about any of our worthiness at all, because we are not worthy. We are unworthy. But there's a blessing, because as you look at the concept of unworthy, we're not worthless, though. We were so valuable to God that he did not send his son to die on the cross for the angels. He did not send his son to die so that Lucifer could get reconciled. He sent his son to die on the cross so that we could be reconciled to him. Human beings, his most prized creation, his most cherished creation. And so as you look in these last days in which we live, Christians today have become so consumed with self. We don't concern ourselves with what God thinks about things anymore. The average Christian should take time to ask God what he thinks about things. And if you really want to know what God thinks about things, there's a Bible that'll tell you. God still is a holy God, and he's a righteous God. And living holy and righteous and doing the things of God, staying a balanced Christian, is the best life you can possibly live. It's not the easiest, but it's the blessed. It's a blessed life. It's the best and blessed life. And so last week we started with the concept of salvation. It starts right there with salvation. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 2, in verse number 10, it says, ye are witnesses in God also how holy and justly, unblamingly we behaved ourselves among you that believe. We are saved. That's the first one. We talked about salvation. Number two, we talked about consideration. Verse number 12, we are to think about the fact that God hath called us unto his kingdom. It says that ye will walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. This world is not our home. It's just we're just a passing through. You know, we are ambassadors of a different kingdom. We represent God in this foreign land. And too many Christians today are they're too in love with the world, and that's why they struggle so much in their walk with God. Number three, presentation. Presentation, that was where we left off. Our testimony is very important. Verse 12 again, walking worthy of God, who hath called us unto his kingdom and glory. We're to walk worthy of our God. So that's where we left off last week. Number four, I want us to look at the subject of association. Association, okay? To me, this is very important, because one of the reasons why Peter denied Jesus three times is because he all of a sudden was accused of being associated or affiliated with Jesus Christ. When he stood by the fire and the three times he denied Jesus as he was kind of falling from afar, he was accused. It's amazing what they used against him. They said, hey, he speaketh like him. His speech bewrayeth him. Meaning Peter was still talking Jesus lingo. He sounded like a follower of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible actually tells us that he had to go back to his old ways and start cursing at one point. So they'd be like, oh man, that's not something that Jesus would say. Isn't that interesting? That was an issue back then. What comes out of our mouth can label us. It can testify to our being, our association, you know. And I'm amazed today at how many Christians will continue to speak things out of their mouth that are not becoming of the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're walking worthy of God. That's the testimony. That's the challenge of this verse here. Paul says, I am laying some groundwork prior to this by saying, hey, you've watched us. You've studied our testimony. You've seen how we are. And so we have proven to you that we're the real deal. We love the Lord. We're coming to minister to you. He says in verse number 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably and we behave ourselves among you that believe. He talked about how he exhorted and comforted them. Then he talks about the association. We are to be associated with Jesus Christ. We are to be unashamed to be associated and affiliated with him. We have an affiliation and association with the Son of God and the King of Kings. We are on his team. We are on his side. And when the world looks at us, we should be able to testify, and their testimony should be of us, is that, yeah, they're believers. They're believers. In America, we call ourselves Christians, but when you start to travel overseas and go to other countries, they call them believers. That's one of the things that Christians will call themselves in other countries, or even the world will sometimes call you a believer. Boy, that's a great testimony too. A believer. I believe in this. I believe in this system. I believe in this faith. I believe in this Bible. I believe in this way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. So by association, we are testifying of our faith in Jesus Christ. Number five, clarification. This one's pretty important, man. Clarification. I tell you what, man, the signals that Christians are sending today is sending mixed signals or confusion to this lost world. You understand that one of the key principles or activities of Satan himself, Satan loves doubt and confusion. The enemy loves doubt and confusion. What was his tactic against Eve in the Garden of Eden? Doubt. All right? Babel is a principle that's all through the Bible. The Tower of Babel shows up in the first book of the Bible, and Babylon, which comes from the root of Babel, is in the last book of the Bible. So the principle of Babel, the principle of confusion, is in Genesis chapter 13, and it continues all the way through to Revelation chapter 19. So all through the Bible, you see the principle of confusion. Satan would love nothing more than for us as Christians to say we are Christians, but then we're not walking worthy of our God. Now remember, as last week we made this statement, look at verse 12 again, that ye would walk worthy of God. Now that is almost an assumptive statement that Paul's saying here. Paul's saying, based on what we've said in these previous 11 verses, you should have the testimony that you're walking worthy of God. Meaning, there should be enough evidence to convict you as being a God follower, a God believer, someone that walks of God. You are going that direction. When you walk somewhere, you're going in the direction. There's a purpose to your walk, right? My wife and I have different philosophies in exercise and working out. She likes to walk a lot. I think walking is boring. I'd rather do push-ups and punch a punching bag. And punch a punching bag, I think about deacons' faces on there, and I think about, no, I don't do that. I punch on the punching bag, and that's one of my favorite ways to work out. I do push-ups and things like that. But there's power in walking. When you walk, we are to walk with God. And by the way, if you study 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, based on what we've taught thus far up this year, you'll understand that walking with God will definitely help us in walking worthy of God. And the problem with many Christians today is we don't walk with God. Eric and I had a meeting before church tonight, and we were talking about some things. He said he saw a Christian make this statement, I don't read my Bible. I'm a Christian, but I don't read my Bible, and I don't get on my knees to pray anymore. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. What is he talking about? And this Christian actually went on to say that I study my Bible, and I lay flat on my face when I pray. And I thought, oh, okay. And she was using that phrase to get your attention. But the fact of the matter is God expects us to walk with him. Walk with him. He doesn't walk with us. We walk with him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The problem many Christians today, and the reason why they're not walking worthy of God, and the reason why there's no clarification in their life, is because they are expecting God to conform to them. That's not how it works. We conform to God. If you study the Bible, there's several times in the Bible where people's names were changed. Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Saul to Paul, and even Peter. Peter's name was kind of, he still got called Peter, but he was changed to Cephas. Jesus calls him Cephas. What's the significance of that name change? There's a clarification that takes place. You are drawing a line in the sand. There's no more lines in many Christians' lives nowadays. Many of our young people, it's so muddled, it's so blurry, it's so gray. There's no line anymore. There's no line of demarcation. There's no, I'm unashamed to say I'm a Christian. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation in Romans chapter 1. In other words, there is sincere clarification. I mean, it is cut and dried and clear to where I believe and where I stand. And I'm not ashamed to say that. But yet today, Christians today have lost the power and walking worthy of their God. How many of you are former military tonight? Raise your hand if you're former military. When you see people that are in a restaurant in uniform, you know exactly what branch they are in, aren't you? There's a certain uniform they wear. There's certain patches, right, Brother Chuck, that they have, and certain ranks and certain emblems they put on their uniform, and you can tell how high their ranking is. You know what branch they are, and you know different things about them. And they walk according to that. And boy, I love that. I salute our military, and I thank God for that. Sometimes I feel bad for God because Christianity has become so chaotic. There's not much clarity in Christians anymore nowadays. It doesn't mean we walk around with our nose in the air that we're better than them. But we walk around in such a way that we are worthy of God. People say, wait a minute, you're one of those God folk. You're one of those Christians. You're one of those believers. You are different than the world. I want what you got. What a testimony that is, clarification. So number one, salvation. Number two, consideration. Number three, presentation. Number four, association. Number five, clarification. Two more things and I'll be done. Number six, listen. Generation. If we don't take this more serious as Christians today, and we continue to water down this walk with worthy of God, we can lose it in just a generation or two. Christianity is in great danger. It's on dangerous ground right now because the next generation doesn't exactly have a good example to look to. You know, my heart is in teenagers. I preach to teenagers all the time. You know that I travel the country and preach to teenagers. And I've seen a very, very, well, it used to be slow, but now it's becoming a very fast trend of Christians today who are so good at living out the principles of the Bible. They say, our lips talk of God, but our heart's far from you. You know, we know we're professional Christians nowadays. We know how to come to church and act like we're spiritual, but we we are doing things on our phones and doing things in secret that nobody knows about. Well, yes, somebody knows about it. In fact, the most important person in your life knows about it. And you can't deceive God. You cannot hide from God. If you don't believe me, go to Genesis. Adam and Eve tried it. They were the first people to try to hide from God, and God found them pretty quickly. God sees everything and knows everything. Oh, boy, what a testimony it would be if we walked worthy of him. So much so that we're not just doing it for this generation, but for future generations to come. I have four children, and they're getting older now, which means soon I'm going to become a fat paw. Remember, that's going to be my name, not grandpa, fat paw. I like that name. And I can't wait till my little grandkids come running and say, hey, fat paw, man, I think it's going to be awesome. F-A-T-P-A, that's a simple name. And I can't wait for that. Brother Rick Mayer, what does your grandbaby call you? Papa? Okay, I know we all know that the grandbaby's called Brother Coon's grandma, but anyway, he brings that up all the time. But boy, I tell you what, I already, you may think your preacher's crazy, I already challenge myself to just stay true, because I've got grandchildren, Lord willing, that Jesus tarries are going to come, and I want to be able to look at their grandpa and say, man, that grandpa, man, he's still preaching, he still believes the same way he did 20 years ago. I can go back and find messages from 20 years ago, he still believes. Christians today are consistently changing and embracing the concept of change. And the Bible says, I'm the Lord, I change not. You know what, Christians, we're not necessarily supposed to change. We're supposed to grow. There's a difference in change and growth. But grow ye. That's what Jesus says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And so it's so important to know that what we're doing today is affecting the next generation. The Kids for Truth Club that's going on right now next door, they're teaching them the Bible, doctrines, and the Word of God, because the generation's got to make a difference. Watch this, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. If I'm walking worthy of God today, guess who's watching me? My children are, and the other children of this church. And that's why I love it when my kids can also look up to people in this church too, and look up to other Christians outside this church. Their mother, grandma, grandpa in Pennsylvania, my wife's parents, and other family members and friends that are scattered across this country that are walking worthy of God. Not perfect. God doesn't expect to be perfect, but walking worthy of God. Finally, seven. I forgot I scratched out one because it wasn't the right word for it. This is number seven. That's way more points than I normally have. So there's, like I said, there's no point to this message. Seven. Anyway, destination. All right, I already mentioned this, but there's when you use the word walk, there has to be a destination. So here's why I'm gonna ask you a question. What is the destination of walking worthy of God? What is the ultimate destination? If the Bible here says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 12 again, it says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, notice this here. That this is not talking about how you lose your salvation, because I do believe there are saved people, believers, Christians, that are not walking worthy of God, but they're still going to go to heaven someday. But what does it mean to walk worthy of God? In regards to destination, where are you going when you're walking worthy of God? What is the direction of that destination? You can answer that. Yes, Miss Paula. Heaven? Yes? Lost souls? Yes? Andrew? Okay. Brother Tim? The same direction God's walking. What direction is that? Yes, Nicole. To glorify our Heavenly Father? Y'all are waiting for me to give you an answer. I don't know the answer. That's why I'm asking you guys. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Good. Anybody else? Yes. Amen. Amen. We talked about that balance. That's very important. Brother Andy preached on that a few weeks ago. All right. All those answers are great. Let me just give you one last thought and I'll be done. As I said last week, One of my big joys to hear from people now is that when I sign or make videos or whatever and sign, people say, wow, you signed just like your dad did. You sign just like your dad did. And now people tell poor Grant all the time, man, you walk like your dad. You do certain things like your dad. It's amazing how much a son will pattern themselves. Not all sons, but you know what I mean. A lot of times a son, how many know what I'm talking about? How many look at a son sometimes and like, man, there's no doubt. Like the Bedwell boys, I mean, if they ever got lost, they'd be like, oh, there's their dad right there. I mean, some people just look like Leto kids. He's a Leto. There's people like that, right? They just have that attachment. It's like you can see a resemblance, okay? And that I think that's the ultimate goal of Paul in this passage here. That's the ultimate goal. There was a time when I did not sign like my dad. There was a time when Grant did not walk like me because he was a baby. He was rolling around. He was crawling. And yet he started to grow and he started to copy my mannerisms just like I copied my dad's mannerisms. And I watched my dad sign. And I watched my dad talk. And I watched my dad teach. And I watched my dad do this. And I watched my dad do that. And I watched it so much. And I spent so much time with him in my early years. And as I continued to grow, people started saying, even though I did not look like him, because that was the joke of the family that my brother and sister were actually the real kids and I was adopted because I don't look like either one of my parents. That's what I've been always told. My brother looks like my dad and my sister looks like my dad and I'm the adopted one. I was left on the doorstep by a stork from Portugal. Remember, we found out storks live in Portugal. Now we know that. But anyway, but over time, this is the destination you want to get to. Everything you said is great, but here's the destination. This is the destination a Christian should want to get to. You get to a point where people say, you remind me of your dad. You remind me of your father. And when my dad was alive and people told him that, do you think he was disappointed when people said your son signs like you? You know what they say? They say, a real man that has a competitive drive to him, that has that competitive nature to him, a real man, the only time he will not have a problem with somebody outdoing him in the world of success is if it's his own son. There's a lot of truth to that. You can almost see that in God the Father and God the Son's relationship on earth. God the Father never had any jealousy of the success and fame of his son. He loved it. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What a beautiful picture that is, right? And when people told me in the latter years that I started to sign like my dad and look like my dad, and they told my dad that, my dad would smile real big and say, that's what I want. I want him to sign like me and look like me and act like me and have the mannerisms that I have. Now people tell me that my son has certain mannerisms and activities and does things and says things and walks even and has certain bodily features that are like his dad's. And people say that, and my daughters are laughing because they know what I'm talking about. Literally, people talk about that stuff. It's weird what people talk about. The leading culprit is Rick Koontz. He has some weird obsession with that. But anyway, if you have no idea what I'm talking about after church, ask Eric. He'll tell you. But anyway, but the fact, here's the destination you want to get to. You want to get to the point where people say, wait, hey, are you God's son? Well, yes, I am. Are you God's daughter? You got to be God's daughter. You are. And that is walking worthy of God. So being mean-spirited, being critical, having a bad attitude, you ain't going to get accused of that. But a sweet spirit, a humble spirit, someone who loves the Lord, someone who radiates the grace of God, someone who's always conscious of souls, someone who loves the word of God, not perfect, someone who wants to help others, someone who wants to be a blessing rather than a burden, someone who's finding ways to please God as much as they can. As time goes, people start to say, man, you sign like your dad. Man, you walk like your dad. Man, you sound like your dad. Man, you remind me of your dad. That is the destination of walking worthy. Heads about, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight.
You never asked me to stretch out my arms. No one put nails in my hands. I'll never feel the weight of the world or carry that cross on my back. Nothing I do could ever repay all that you did on that day. You took my place up there on that tree. You paid the price so that I could be free. You died for me, and now I'm living for you. Lord, that's the least I can do. You never sent me out on my own. You're always leading the way. All that I ask for is a hope in my heart and only a small seed of faith. I know you gave me all that I have, so why wouldn't I give it back? You took my place up there on that tree, and you paid the price so that I could be free. And you died for me, and now I'm living for you. Lord, that's the least I can do. You didn't have to walk down that road. You didn't have to rescue my soul and lay down your life just for me. I should have been taking those steps. It should have been my last breath. But you just want me to believe. You took my place up there on that tree, and you paid the price so that I could be free. And you died for me, and now I'm living for you. Lord, that's the least that I can do. And now I'm living for you. Lord, that's the least I can do.